The Bulls are back, ladies and gentlemen. Stocks are soaring higher today. Dow was up 1.3%, marking the fourth straight positive week. We haven't seen something like this since October of last year. Hi, everyone, and welcome to BHS Live. I'm Todd Schoenberger, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host out in Scottsdale, Arizona, Tobin Smith. And Toby, There you go, because I got to tell you, we had a hell of a week in the markets. We had a lot of good news. Inflation data was good. We had, obviously, producer prices were down more than expected. Even import prices that came out today were less than expected. And then you have to take a look at that Michigan survey. Things are looking up. I got to tell you, this was a big week for the White House, big week for Wall Street. Yeah. Is it going to continue, though, Toby? Let's say you.
Well, you know, I've been talking about this magic number, the 50% replacement on the spider on the S&P 500, which was 4231. And if it broke that and it kept that and it did it on higher than average volume, that tells us two things. First off, you know, everybody has an opinion, right, Todd? The only thing that really counts is what the market's opinion is. And the market's opinion is that, well, two things. That because of the rate of change of these inflation numbers, they didn't. I mean, frankly, I could have made a great case at only going down 0.3% from 9.1. You know, how is that going to be a big whoop? What was important is that all the economists who get paid to basically be wrong were using 8.8 as the inflation rate. So when it came in at 8.6, then all those little computer algorithms, you know, had a little algorithm that said if better than expected. Buy, right? So,
right.
As soon as we got those numbers, it came out. Bigger picture, I mean, again, I just follow the rules that I've done for a few years. Number one is that it's a bear market until it's not. And so these moves that some of the moves we've had before, you know, failed. They got to resistance, they came back. They failed. This time they didn't fail and they didn't fall back. And at the same time, if you look at B of A's research on bearishness, we're at absolute bearishness. You can't get any lower than zero on their bearish scale.
Right.
And it's
right.
Zero. So now that sets up a whole bunch of, you know, of issues related to managing money. Trust me, this is how it works. We happen to be seriously above the market this year, so I'm not worried. But if I was behind the market, like 99.9% of hedge funds are,
they got
5 months to try to keep the money and not have to give it back. So
right.
They're going to go into, and then, you know, obviously, I will get into this, but we went from 3.5 weeks ago. There was going to be no renewable plan. There was going to be no inflation plan. There was going to be nothing was going to happen, right? Other than we're going to pitch and moan about how the fact that our Wonder Bread size is now this. It's a cost more, but it's only half loaf, right? what a dramatic change. So, you know, market has said that there's going to be a pivot, that the rate of change of inflation, even the embedded real estate stuff, are going down, and that's good enough, Todd. That's what was so weird to me. The wage increases are driving inflation, and they're not going south. Rents aren't going south. Home prices are going south. That's another segment, but it was good enough, Todd. I guess that's my
answer. Right. Well, off the mid-June lows that we saw in the markets. Right now, the Dow is up 15.5%. You had the Nasdaq up almost 22%. From that time. That's incredible. So you're saying bear market. I got to say, good times are rolling right now. And people do.
No,
they're
still
continuing
to spend. End of bear market.
Right, end of bear market.
Get the wax out of here. End of bear market. Over 4231 is holding.
Yeah.
We'll get some pullbacks, clearly, you know, on exogenous bad news. But unless there's just something, another black swan out there going to smash the world. What we're saying is that the path of the Fed reduction, money reduction rate increases is being absorbed. They work with a 90 to 120 day lag. If you look forward and think, you know, that they're actually going to start have some teeth there. Now, all of a sudden, the Fed funds futures rate is saying 50 basis points in September, not 75. It was at like 98% that it was going to be 75 basis points. So all of that, so call it a relief rally, call it the end of the world, it's not happening. But the right stuff is going up. Now we had the ARC fund, which we were short and we got killed the first week when it came back. So it's up like 50%. Yeah. So I should have bet on ARC because you know where that money's come from? It's not coming from institutions. It's come from retail investors, and retail investors, still have the most money. And when you pump, almost $34 billion worth of new cash into ARKK,
yeah,
and they go and buy stuff, they're going to be, the marginal buyer, which is the person who's price insensitive. So, all that is good thing now, but valuation still matters, Tyler, okay? Valuation does matter. It's just that on many of these things, we're seeing, great value. Some of the stuff we've talked about, for instance, in the energy shipping, these guys are paying out like 25% dividends in the they're at a 2 PE. Okay, right. Please, sir, right. Give me some more. I like
right,
that.
Right. And you're right. I mean, we continue to see this. We see the valuations going up, and obviously costs are going to continue to keep rising, like you said. And then you have to wonder, when is that elasticity? How far can the consumer, the American consumer, go before they actually break? And we keep hearing about these warning signs, but it's funny. Once gas prices started coming down, wow, that really changed the temperature. And not to mention the fact we're hearing a lot of surveys coming out now that COVID is definitely a thing of the past. The geopolitical issues in Ukraine right now, they're a front page story, but it's in the bottom of beyond the bottom of the fold right now. So because of that, that's really going to be the one that I think is going to be the one key thing that could turn everything around. But we were also hearing earlier
this week. But one key thing,
geopolitical issues. If you have a massive geopolitical, something happens, maybe China starts going into Taiwan, some war that's going to take, I think that really unravels any sense of the recovery here in the United States.
That's the black swan. Okay. That's the outlier thing that, nobody can predict, but that's right. Anytime, Todd. I mean, if it was China going into Taiwan instead of Russia going into Ukraine, the market would have had a conniption fit anyway.
Right.
Probably
right.
A bigger conniption fit given everything at stake. But then again, I've been so negative since, February. I'm very happy to take the medicine. And right now, the medicine is $3 trillion of cash money over the next 3-4 years, both United States and Canada, EU, in renewables, in liquefied natural gas, in semiconductors. Actually, I mean, semiconductors has been a massive disappointment all the way through the year. And then all of a sudden, now we got prices down. Now and what we're doing is buying the suppliers. I'll get into that in a second. But the suppliers, the people who sell you the stuff to make a semiconductor, they're doing fine. So anyway, there's a lot to be cheery about, Tom.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you did coin the phrase Rexit, and then you also have, I'm sure you have some picks for this so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which I got to say is the fastest piece of legislation that's ever gone through Washington. It's actually been, I mean, look, it's come true. I mean, we got inflation readings that were down. Who knew that they could move so fast? So that's great. But jokingly aside, what do you think? What stocks are going to be best served because of that? Also, the chips bill. I mean, there's so many stocks right now and so many investments that we can really start digging into, right, because of what's coming out of Washington.
I'm putting it into sort of three buckets. Okay.
Okay.
The first bucket is what I've come to call Rexit, which is the Russia exit, or the rapid exit from Russia is really what it was. And Europe's not going back in that. The rest of the world's not going back in that. So that, in my world, I'm about S-curves, secular rapid transformation of supply demand. And we've had a rapid, rapid change in supply demand for anything out of Russia. I mean, for instance, look at coal. They ship about 90% of their coal goes to Europe, and it's not only it's not sanctioned yet, but it's going to be sanctioned. Also, their rivers are so low that they can't ship the coal up from Russia, for crying out loud. So we own a company called Peabody Energy, BTU is the ticker symbol. They have more coal than anybody, and they're shipping it out of Australia, they're shipping out of Singapore, they're shipping out of the United States. Pays a dividend, is rapidly, way undervalued relative to energy space. Selling for $24 now. I think it's a $35 stock by, next year, simply because coal is priced off of natural gas.
Yeah.
in Europe are, you know, let's call it $9 a million BTU.
Yeah.
In Europe, it's $35 an MBTU, okay, which is the equivalent of $360 oil. That's reality.
Yeah.
So I
that's
know
incredible.
You're
that's incredible. No, that's incredible.
So the
I'm following you.
Everybody's trying to, you know, get around that, and you get around right. with coal, but are also they're burning oil again in the power plant because they don't got nothing else, and you know, power is sort of important. So that Brexit play starts with electrified natural gas. We talk about ticker symbol FLNG, which is the largest exporter. I'm looking at my list here. We love another one, which is called GOGL, which is again a company that owns multiple different LNG plants. All of their stuff is sold out. Their revenue is locked for the next 18 months, and every 6 months their rates go up automatically. I like that business. Remember, we had the Freeport McMoRan LNG plant, the largest one in the United States down in Texas, closed down.
Yep.
17% of the natural gas LNG goes to that facility. It's now reopening in October at full bore, which means we're going to be taking natural gas reserves down, prices up. And I like, for the traders out there, I like the LNG price ETF. It's called Boyle. I'm sorry. Capital Boyle. B-O-L, Boyle. What we do is we buy short-term call options when, you know, it looks like natural gas prices are going up, which they did for the last 5 days. We close it.
Right.
You know, like, for instance, we bought an option for 85 cents, then on 1,000 shares of Boyle, and Boyle goes up 25%. The option went up 325% 4 days. You know, that's better than working, Todd. Okay.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah. So the LNG, we'll get into other spaces, but just think about everything that Russia is, or everything that people are boycotting, countries are boycotting from Russia, it's got to be replaced, and it's got to be transported. And that makes for tighter, just tighter energy prices, et cetera. And, you know, guess what? They also ship a lot of diesel fuel. You know, they have those refineries there. Well, now, if you can't get it from them, the product guys, TNNK, these are the ASC, I'm sorry. These are the guys who ship diesel and petroleum and jet fuel. And for instance, they used to go like 3,000 kilometers. They'd go from Rotterdam, you know, Russia to Rotterdam and get around. Now, those same tankers are going from United States to Asia, or they're going from, you know, Buenos Aires to Asia. So instead of 3,000, these are 2,000. These are 7,000 kilometers. So it's the supply and demand S curve again.
Gotcha.
The price is going up for the free available tankers.
Yeah.
Because there's more tankers that are spending 36 days as opposed to 12 days traveling. There's no tankers.
Right.
You know, if they're not already leased, the spot market, the prices are going up. Wonderful way to make some serious coin and get paid. So you let your imagination run a little bit.
Right.
You know, vodka prices have not come down, but we have Tito's, Todd.
There you go. I like that a lot. I like that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will have these ticker symbols out. All of Toby's picks are always good. And we'll have those out for everybody to actually research. So coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about one industry, one sector that I love to talk about, and that's retail. You have retail sales numbers coming out next week. We also have big earnings coming out from all the big box retailers. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about exercise equipment. It looks like there's a company that's going to be downsizing. Actually, we got breaking news once we went into the show that there's a second company that just announced that they're going to be downsizing. We'll get into that after the break. Please stay with us.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to BHS Live, ladies and gentlemen. We do appreciate you listening to us on the Evergreen Podcast Network. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast channel, as well as watching us through the Big Wig Media Studio lineup, we really appreciate you being with us today. And why wouldn't you be? Because we had a huge day in the markets. We had the Dow up 1.3%. Yet overall averages, they were up for the fourth straight week, which is something we haven't seen since almost a year ago. So this is great news, and things continue to prosper. And I don't know, I just see the good times rolling just for a little while at least. So that's
a new bull market. It's a
new bull market. What a way to close out summer. I love it. It's always good to close out on an optimistic note. So let's talk about retail sales. So the big thing coming up next week, you have retail sales numbers coming out for the month of July, a feel on not just, you know, really how the consumer's spending. It is backwards looking, but more importantly, we're going to get earnings reports out of Walmart, Target, Home Depot is coming out with earnings, TJ Maxx. We're going to hear from those companies when they release their earnings about what the feeling is with their consumers. Are they spending more? How is back to school shopping? These are critical times that we want to see, because as you know, Toby, with back to school shopping, if it's strong, that usually signals we're going to have a strong Christmas shopping season. And these retailers, they start Christmas on, start coming out with Christmas inventory usually in the month of September. So what do you think right now? What should we expect from the retail data coming out next week?
Well, I did a very informal survey since Target and Walmart are next to each other down the street.
So I
jumped in to your point about Target looking like a mausoleum. if we get a service that uses satellites and it measures the cars in the parking lots.
Okay.
And that service shows that traffic is down 9%.
Okay.
So if any decent numbers came out of these guys, I would be shocked the hell out of me. The other side, of course, you know, is that they're still in the business. I went into one of these because I was looking for something for our patio. And, you know, my Lord, they have more inventory. I thought I was in a freaking furniture store. So way too much inventory. It's in the summer. Nobody's buying patio furniture except me.
Yeah.
Food prices. Yeah. But they don't make any money on food, you know?
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing sort of the forward guidance. But if again, we're sort of if they just don't spread the caca all over the print here, and they're just things are less bad than people think, then they're probably okay, because we're in that sort of mode now where we're expecting the worst. And if we don't get the worst, then, you know, maybe they get a bid. But I would be very shocked if they don't take down their guidance for the fourth quarter. And they'll update on back to school. That's all I saw in those stores, by the way,
where moms
with kids, picking up.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I do see that as where you can have people, the kids are going, you know, what they do these places, you go in there and, you know, they'll give you the shopping list for your school and for your grade. Typically, the schools, they team up with the local retailers and they supply this information. And then, you know, the moms go in there with their kids and they buy a couple of folders, notebooks, things like that. But the question is, are they feeding into anything else? I don't see any of these moms that are walking out with a big screen TV. So the inventory, inventory issues are going to plague both companies, Walmart and Target. It's just a matter of who's managing it better. I mean, here you have Christmas inventory that's going to be rolling in if it hasn't already. So where do these stores actually put this stuff? I mean, that's why you see all these shipping containers sitting outside in those parking lots. I mean, it's nuts when you see it. So I think Brian Cornell over at Target, he's got a lot to answer for, because his last earnings report during the press conference didn't go that well. And he announced how surprised he was with how much it costs to ship these goods to these stores. So the question will be, what can we expect? I really think, from a forecasting standpoint, they are trying to compete with Amazon. And so you can place your order online or on your phone, and then somebody from a local store is going to put the stuff together and they ship it out. And that's how they, if you buy something, for example, if you buy something out there in Scottsdale, Toby, and you're sending it to me, and you go into Target or Walmart.com, they're actually fulfilling that order here locally in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So keep it, because that keeps your shipping costs lower. But these stores are so big, and there's just so much inventory out there. They're really just serving as inventory warehouses, like what Amazon does.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Target was early on ordering online and picking up. And again, Scottsdale in the last part of summer is not the place you're really going to see anything jammed right now. But, you know, it just goes to the bigger thesis we've been operating on is that, hey, guess what? I have bought all the crap I could possibly put. I mean, look at my office here. I have more crap.
Lots of pictures of yourself, I see.
No, they're not of myself. Those are places we've visited around the world, person. So, but and my lions and tigers over here.
Yes.
So that I shot on safari while I was shaking like this. what we're now seeing in these numbers is what I've been calling, because you know I like to have a term for everything. This is the post-pandemic pull-through syndrome, meaning that everybody loaded up on stuff, on physical products. That's why we had all these supply chains, our whole supply system. We were a 70% service economy, and all of a sudden we were a 65% product economy, and there weren't enough trains, planes, automobiles, anything. Right? Okay, we get it. But you can't extrapolate an S-curve, because that's what it was. It was a rapid transformation in supply-demand curve. Well, it's flattened out. It's actually going this way.
Okay.
So why we would expect that, except for number one, number two, going to get into your favorite Peloton. Dude, how many Pelotons can you have? It's the same thing like my favorite Weber. I'm the biggest fan of Weber smoke fires of all time. It's smoke, it's grills, the whole thing. They went public for some reason, Todd, at $15. This is the thing you buy once every like 8 years.
Right.
Unless you're like me, and I've already gone through one in about a year and a half, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Stock's now $6. What on earth were they thinking? How much dope did they smoke with their investment bankers to say that? And they went public like at the height of where everybody who didn't have a new grill was saying, all right, I can't stand it anymore. I need a new grill, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of these. We've been seeing it with semiconductors with NVIDIA and AMD because of all the gaming, blah, blah, blah. So I think you have to really separate, when you're looking at securities and equities, the people who are still working through their post-pandemic demand pull ahead situation, and companies who are actually taking advantage of new demand that started because of Russia, because of the CHIPS Act now, and because of the, almost really $500 billion renewable. That's where the S-curve of demand is, baby. So that's where we put our money. I wrote a book on it called Change Wave Investing. Made it better with Transformity Investing. I was just looking at an old book. You had a very nice endorsement of me, like in 2010, Todd. I want to thank you for that. It's a little late.
Yeah. I'm going to pick up a few of those copies for Christmas. So
I will. I'll write you
another one.
They're on their way.
That's awesome. All right. Well, listen, let's segue into that with Peloton. Peloton announced today that they are going to be laying off 800 of their employees. What are you going to do? I know they're actually going to be increasing prices on their bike that they called it, which is a bicycle, stationary bike. They're going back up to almost $2,500 a unit. And then they have this treadmill called the Tread, which sells for almost $3,500. But, and And they're also cutting their customer support. They're actually going to outsource customer support. So they'll no longer keep that in-house. With all that said, Wall Street loved it. Stock was up over 13% today. They're finally saying, good, let's start thinning things down. You know, using that word up, of course. But then you also have SoulCycle comes out today. And then they said they're going to close 25% of stores in Manhattan. So here you have two exercise areas. Is this a trend? Are people just saying, I just don't give a damn anymore? And they just feel like, hey, I just sit on the couch.
No, I mean, I must get via social media, etc. I must get 10 ads a week from a different exercise, you know, store or company or facility that's opened up here in Scottsdale, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of competition now, Todd. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
And it's concentrated in the, you know, upper middle class and up areas where I'm going to pay $50 to go to the stretch lab, because by the time they've stretched me out, I'm about 2 inches taller than I was before. And all those aches and pains, you know, have gone away. That's a great value. But there's just so much competition, number one. And then number two, the price point. How many people, even if you're using a firm and you're paying over six payments, are going to buy that bike for $2,500? Because that's not the cost. The cost is you're going to get the monthly subscription.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, you're pricing out a certain segment of the population to begin with. And then people are going back to offices. So it's not like you could be on your Peloton, you know, 24 hours a day and still work. That takes people. So, I mean, it's the living example. We shorted it a little bit. We should have shorted it more. They sold everything they could get. They were backordered for 9 months. They added something like 4,000 employees.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, right. I know.
So, I mean, I guess I assumed that the pandemic was going to go on for the rest of our lives. And no one's ever going to go to work and so on and so forth. But you are right.
You are right about the high price point, though. When I start seeing that, you know, as Wall Streeters, we're always going to look at the revenue and then potential profits there. But the question does remain, how many people, I mean, there is that price elasticity model. How far up does that price have to go before consumers say, forget this? Personally, I'm not paying $2,500 for a bike. You can buy a beautiful bike at one of the Targets for $600 and go riding your bike around the neighborhood, and you'll probably be better off for it.
That's what I do, by the way. But my bike is more than $600, let me tell you that.
Well, your bike, you got the pro bike.
Hello, have you met me? But the other side of this is you couldn't go into your workout place with COVID, right? Well, now you can't. So now people are saying, but first off, if I was single, I would not be going to bars to meet people. I would be going to my workout place. Almost everybody I know who's you know, married recently either met their spouse at church or at workout. But hit the bar just doesn't have the appeal that it used to have, Todd. I don't know why that is. But
No. I have to agree. Yeah, and let's wrap this up because I got to get to the gym then. This is great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for sticking with us. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about travel and leisure stocks. There's still plenty of time to take a vacation. But a real interesting survey actually came out today. It's really saying, look, bulls are definitely back in that sector. We're also going to talk about dividend paying stocks. Should we look at bonds? Should we look at some of these great dividend paying stocks? I know Toby's got a few that he uses. Thanks for being with us. Stick with us. We'll see you after the break.
A news story gets shared by a friend on social media, or you catch a tweet that really makes your blood boil. But how do you separate fact from fiction? That's the premise behind Disinformation, a 10-part series from Evergreen Podcasts and Emergent Risk International coming this fall. Tune into Disinformation wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, don't believe everything you read.
Welcome back to BHS Live. I'm Todd Schoenberger, joined by Tobin Smith out in Arizona. And thanks again for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about dividend paying stocks. You have a tightening rate environment by the Fed. Toby talked about it earlier, where we're seeing some, there seems to be a lot of interest where the Fed is only going to hike rates by 50 basis points rather than what we thought was going to be 75 when we started this week. But whatever it's going to be, we already know that the Fed is going to be tightening when they get together again in September, on September 21st. So the question remains, what should investors do right now, Toby? Should they start thinking about bonds because you're going to have higher rates there? Or should they look at some of these dividend paying stocks that seem to continue to be cash cows for investors?
Well, our position sort of is this. Yes, the Fed funds rate is going to be going higher. And in theory, that means that was, for instance, the 10-year Treasury bond rates would be going up. When rates go up, prices go down. A little bit today, but this has been malarkey because in the last 3 weeks, the interest rates have been going down. We were at 3.4% on the 10-year and it came down to 2.7. The reason was at that time, that was the risk off trade. I'll take that 3.5% yield. And if things get better, the rate's going to go down, the bond's going to go up in value, which it has. And that was a cool trade, but that was only really a trade because now we're sort of at the other side of this, is that that if the Fed is going to make this pivot, in other words, raise, and then data will show inflation coming down, which then means that interest rates would be coming down. You can do a lot better. And you can do a lot better, for instance, in energy transportation. So one of our favorites is USA Compressor. Ticker symbol is USAC. It pays $2.05 a year in dividends.
Okay.
We originally bought it at $5. So that was pretty good. But even today at $17, it's about 11% yield. They rent these giant compressors. I know you spent some time in Texas, Todd.
And, oh, yeah.
I know it wasn't in jail, so no worries. But but the natural gas does not move by itself, okay? It only goes up into the atmosphere. That's the only thing it does naturally. So you have to, have these compressors that pull it out and transport just to get out of the well, and then he has to go in a pipeline, which needs another compressor.
Yeah.
And then if it goes into LNG, it needs another compressor, right? So USAC, which is 49% owned by Energy Transfer, ticker symbol ET, which we also recommend, are paying double-digit yields. And it's 100%. They've never missed a payment ever they've been in business. For instance, even in April 2020, when the world was gone to hell in a handbasket, they paid their dividend. Why? Because all the people who rent their stuff are multi-billion-dollar corporations.
Yeah.
And they pay their rent or their lease payment 30 days in advance.
Yeah.
They've only lost one compressor in 12 years. Somebody went bankrupt and the bank then leased them the compressor because they needed the gas to, get the money back. Right. So,
right.
So it's like the perfect thing. That's number one. Number two is, now that we have ticker symbol is EVV. It's a closed end fund, meaning that they own financial products. They own some high yield bonds. They own some negotiable bonds. They own some other type of corporate debt. It's paying about 12.5%.
Wow.
On an annual basis. And that's not like it's, a junk bond fund. These are highly rated. It's just that it sells a little discount because it's an exchange traded fund. So that's,
yeah.
I love that stuff. And then, the other one you just can't beat is some of these guys that are paying variable dividends. A variable dividend means, for instance, at Devon Energy, DVN is the ticker symbol. They and many other people, particularly in Texas, the Permian Basin, where they just have huge amounts of hydrocarbons, and the Marcellus Shale, which, by the way, up in Pennsylvania and Virginia and a little bit of Ohio. We have the largest natural gas field in the world, Todd. We make Russia look like a freaking pipsqueak.
Yeah.
The only problem is there's three pipelines that need to be built to get that stuff out. And heretofore, the people have said, we love the taxes we're getting here, but no. And they would show those commercials, where fire would be burning out of somebody's kitchen sink. That would scare a lot of people, right? That's honestly, that's how they scare the hell out of people. If you look in this space, these guys are paying serious cash flow dividends, but Devon pays 63% of its distributable cash every quarter. So it's about a 10% yield. And unless you think the price of oil is going down dramatically, they're going to be there. They're basically for a much longer time. I mean, the only caveat here on oil is if Iran actually does settle this nuclear agreement and Iranian oil were to come back on the market, then, you know, oil maybe is in the 82, 83 level, but supply demand is still in more imbalance for not enough to supply. So, but anyway, those are three. But it's insane to buy a bond fund right now and get 2.5% yields when you can get these much higher yields. If they're in a limited partnership, you get some tax advantage from it as well. Because, you know, those, I can't do that. I mean, we have probably 22 different income vehicles that we use, everything from LNG, to liquefied petroleum, propane, liquefied propane. There's a company called LPG that ships that. They do the same thing. They pay 65%. So this is a real paradigm shift that happened after the energy business, you know, went to hell in a handbasket for 8 years. And they burnt through $3 trillion worth of borrowed money because it cost them $50 to drill and they were getting $35. You know, after a while, you're going to go out of business doing that. But new change because of Brexit, because of LNG and LPG. So I love all those.
Yeah. No, and they are. Those are spectacular. I mean, especially with those higher dividends. I'm always partial to the real estate investment trusts. I am a big fan of those. They do seem to continuously pay solid dividends, but they're nowhere near that high. I mean, National Retail Properties is my favorite, but the yield is only 5%. I say only 5%, but when you can seek and find elsewhere other opportunities like you brought up, it just seems like the right place to go for investors. But either way, the big thing for investors is to make sure that those dividends are consistent, that they are consistently paid. You don't run the risk of that. That's why I'm apprehensive to suggest an ExxonMobil that is looking at a 4% yield. The problem is that with Chevron and Conoco, they actually had dividend cuts. So it doesn't make any, you still run the risk that company could do that. And the same goes with the REITs as well, but there seems to be a little bit more of a stable income.
Yeah. Well, the ones I like, W.R. Carey happens to be headquartered out here in Store, STR. They have triple net leases, meaning that they own the building, but the occupant pays everything. And they have inflation clauses in their contract. So on W.T. Carey, I get that yield doesn't get me excited, but if it's not going anywhere and it's super safe and inflation gets priced in, their yields should be going up. You know, we used to be overstored everywhere in the United States, but thanks to the pandemic, I don't think we're that much overstored anymore.
That's great.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's switch topics here because we have a little bit of time left in this block. Okay. Let's talk about travel and leisure because travel and leisure actually got a very important piece of information out. This company that actually does travel insurance. And one thing that they recognize is that baby boomers, we had baby boomer travelers that dropped 90% during the pandemic. Yeah, there you go. You're pointing at yourself. And these baby boomers evidently are all back. They're all back traveling. And is this, I know the markets were up big today, but wow. Some of these companies, Hyatt, Marriott, Southwest Airlines, just soared. I mean, just beat the overall broader averages today. And I can only suspect that's going to continue, obviously, as we close out summer. So now with travel companies getting ready to report their quarterly earnings in a week and a half, what do you think, Toby? I mean, is that a great place to be if you're an investor?
Yeah, I call it the return to my life trade. And, I talked about MGM a couple weeks or last week that Vegas is at its maximum. It's never had higher liquor sales, never had higher gambling, never had higher rates. So I'm still going with MGM. One I really like, though, is Lind Expeditions. The ticker symbol is LIND. Indeed. Okay. These are the guys that run the National Geographic small ships that go to South Africa. They go to South America. They go to the Galapagos. And then on the larger rivers in Europe, they do a Rhine River. They do Alaska. Anyway, it's high end. It's small ship. They're completely sold out for the next 9 months. Trust me on this because we were trying to book something. The cabins are about 10 grand for the week. And you live like a king. So it's just hard to beat.
But
they
incredible.
Have reported well, and they just got hammered. I mean, they used to be a $75 stock. It's now $15. But we're going to own that for this next cycle because they have eight of their ships that have been dry docked. They didn't have tickets for it. So now they're going to be back in beast mode again.
Yeah. Wow. That is incredible. Yeah. I'm partial to Southwest Airlines. I don't think you go wrong with Southwest. So some of these, Hyatt's always been a big one. I've been a big fan of, and mainly their places are great, but their Hyatt place, that Hyatt Place franchise of theirs is the real winner, actually, if you start looking at all of their inventory. But enough of all of that. We just said, it's always good to get away. That's for sure. So coming up after the break, that's right. We're going to come up with our predictions, our buy, hold, sell. We hope you stick with it. See you in a bit.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.
Welcome back to BHS Woo-hoo! Live. This is the best part of the show, predictions. What's going to be your buy, hold, sell today, Toby?
On the theme of LNG, there's this thing called floating storage, regasification storage thing.
God, that sounds boring.
Yeah. But Accelerate Energy, the ticker symbol EE, absolutely dominates the space. They're out of Texas. They're run by a multi-billionaire who started on this project years ago. All of a sudden now, Europe is, there's very few places that can actually take the LNG. But if you park a FSRU and then the ship goes in and takes the LNG and puts it in there, and then they regasify it, goes into pipelines, you got a home run. So
there you go.
We think it's worth about $35 a share. It's 24 bucks and change now, and we've owned it since it was like 21. Okay.
Solid.
Yeah. So the one you want to hold is, I talked about this ECA Marcellus Gas Trust a couple weeks ago, ticker symbol ECTM. It's the strangest damn thing. They get royalties out of the Marcellus Shale in Shockley in Pennsylvania, and it's always backwards, like 90 days in arrears, right? The dividend keeps going like this. The dividend now, and then, you know, when everything went like crazy for natural gas and everything, this thing went up 150% in about, you know, 3 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, if you own an energy trust that goes up 150% in 3 weeks, you should sell that. And we did. And it came back down to about, you know, $1.25. We reloaded again. Now it's in $2 and change. Its yield is going up. It's already paying about an 18% yield on natural gas. All it is is a trust. The royalty goes in, they pay out. There's no overhead. There's no risk. The only risk is prices, and natural gas is not going anywhere. So that's one. The one that I would sell here is Home Depot, because again, they're on that side where everybody who bought all the stuff they needed because they never worked on their lawn or their backyard or whatever, they maxed out. I don't see much upside at all to them, and I could see them doing a little bit of a Target apology saying, yeah, because I'm telling you, that's another one I check out.
Okay. All right.
Lowe's at least has a whole bunch of really good stuff. Home Depot, they got a bunch of furniture and everything else just like Target sitting there, nobody's buying. So
well, you know what the thing is, Home Depot actually they cater to that the guy who's in construction. You know, yeah. The one that's gonna go there, pick up a bunch of 2x4s, and that's what they're looking. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Lowe's, if you go into a Lowe's, the shelves are lower. They're really targeting women. They're going out. Yeah. Like you go into a Lowe's, get your washer and dryer straight ahead, all the you know, the lights, everything's lower so that they can reach everything. It's genius, actually, because, and plus they're cleaner. You don't have sawdust all over the, you know, like you do at Home Depot.
It is true. I just went in a Lowe's and I was looking for something, and right, the Lowe's, I could reach for it. You know, I could see it. I'm going to go, I need those filters up there in 18 feet.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah. And they've always been that way. I don't understand it, but whatever. All right, so my buy, hold, sell today. Okay, my buy has got to be Disney. I got to tell you, the story out of Disney is the best. They were leading all stocks on the Dow 30 today, and their earnings were great. They clearly have taken the top spot in the streaming wars. Netflix is going to be second right now, but more importantly, they came out just today and talked about how they're going to start hiking prices at all their theme parks. That's going to bring in a monster amount of money. And the only reason why they're hiking the prices isn't because of inflation. It's because of demand. They're saying everybody is going there. And I got to tell you, that says to me, it says profits and it means higher stock prices. It's definitely going to be one you want to buy.
And they raised the streaming monthly $3 a month.
And they did that too.
$128 million. I'm with you.
Yeah.
They still should have a HELOC loan for the average family to go visit freaking Disney World for 4 days at $1,000 a day or $1,500 a day. I mean, boy.
You know what? It's really funny. I wonder what their margins are on food, because they used to have the meal plan there when you would book a trip there. They no longer have it, and the costs are out of control. I mean, just for a cup of coffee, I think it's $4. I mean, it's nuts. So their margins are just, you know, to the moon.
They don't even serve booze in the damn place, except for like one hidden place. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. You got to sneak it in, I guess.
That's right.
All right. Now, my hold today is going to be Chipotle. They just settled a $20 million lawsuit in New York City over unfair labor practices, and they got that out of the way. That actually was hanging over the company like a black cloud. That's gone, clear sailing away for the company. Stock was up 2% today. Definitely one of those companies. They continue to see growth. They're expecting a lot of growth in all of their stores, and they already have gone through exponential growth. Definitely, would say that's a company you want to stick with, and with if you already hold on to it. And not to mention the fact they do such a great job with their employees, and they don't see the turnover that I think a lot of the smaller or other shops are seeing right now. And that consistency obviously bodes well for the consumer.
It's a great value proposition, and it's fresh, and there's only like three things on the menu. Stevie Wonder could be the chef there, and it would work. You know, and they can have young kids do it because it's put thing in. Boom, boop. Would you like the $5 guacamole? Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not, right? You never know.
A big spender, not up to $11 for a burrito.
Yeah, for a burrito, right? And my sell today has got to be Peloton. I do not understand why anybody.
Wow, that's incredibly.
I know, and I'm going out on a limb. Going out on a limb here. But I cannot see anybody paying $2,500 for one of these exercise bikes. I think it's a waste of money, especially when you can do so many other things on your own. And the treadmill at $3,500, just because you have the Peloton name on it, doesn't make it any special, and it doesn't obviously motivate you either. So I definitely would stay away from it.
That first off, 9.5 million people have bought a Peloton or a treadmill, so I don't know where you are, pal, but maybe you're just too cheap. Secondarily, the revenue model is the subscription, and the subscription is why, you know, you got the big TV on your thing. And, I mean, that's going to continue to go on. I'm just saying is that people are, you know, they want to go actually to a gym.
Yeah.
If they're single and meet people and not be, you know, sitting in your living room.
But at 9.5 million people buying a Peloton, you need, if you're going to, those people are going to be the subscribers. You can't, you're not going to subscribe to a Peloton unless you have the Peloton equipment. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So if you're, therefore you can only suspect that if you're increasing your prices for these units and you're going to have to put one of these machines in your home, then you subscribe. If you're not paying for it, you're not subscribing. I mean, 100% is zero. I just don't see the growth of that company going any further. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think it's another pandemic demand pull forward, the victim.
The stock was up 13% today. Sell into that strength. Get out of it.
But remember, anytime, you know this, but anytime a stock goes up more than 10% on basically any news, unless they're being bought, look at the short. Look how many people are short the stock. Yeah. Peloton is one of the heaviest shorted stocks. If you bet against the stock and it goes down, you have to buy it back to make a profit. So when anybody sit there and saw an 8 or 9% run, they said, oh, we're closing our short, meaning that we're going to take our profits, but we borrowed the shares. That's what going short is. So now we have to buy shares to replace them. But that should have been an opportunity to get out. I'm with you, Ted.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right. So coming up next week, quickly, we have retail sales numbers that are coming out for the month of July. I know it's backwards looking, but that should give us a little bit of an idea of what we should expect, I would think, from some of the companies that are reporting earnings. And then also you have housing data that's coming out. That's going to be critical. We'll talk about real estate as well, obviously. So
I want those people to take the inflation rate out of their sales and show what their real sales are.
Right.
Because if you have more sales, but you're higher costs, come on now.
Yeah, that's a great question. That, for the Brian Cornells out there at Target, that's a great question they could talk about during their earnings call. So I like that.
Inflation adjusted revenues. That's what I would like to see. We do that anyway. If the earnings went up, that's one thing. If you're not making any more money and you're selling at a higher price, that means you're losing incremental sales. If they through, great. But if most of them are not passing it through, that's the, I mean, they're passing it through, but not enough to make up the difference. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know what? I'm going to have to join in on that call. I'm going to ask that question. I'll let everybody know what he said. So we'll get into that. So listen, right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for joining us today for BHS Live. On behalf of Tobin Smith, I'm Todd Schoenberger. Have a wonderful and safe weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Bye, wholesale. Bye, wholesale.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years' experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app, or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.